Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Our religious viewpoint case was decades in the making, but it'll have an impact into future generations. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, 1 year ago in January, I argued at the United States Supreme Court, and in May 2022, we received a 9-0 decision in the case called Shurtleff versus City of Boston. That's a case where Hal Shurtleff, the founder of Camp Constitution, wanted to celebrate the Constitution in September of 2017 as part of the application to use the public forum open to all applicants. There was a flagpole also open to all applicants for personal flag-raising events, and he wanted to raise the Christian flag during the event. That would have been perhaps an hour or so, and that would have been it. To celebrate, to acknowledge the Judeo-Christian heritage and history in Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regards to the founding of our country. And for 12 years, Holly, 284 applications, not a single denial, virtually no review. And application 285 was Hal Shurtleff's. It was denied solely because of one word on the application. The word Christian was the word that caused the controversy for the city of Boston. They said there's no way that they would allow the flag to fly if it was referred to as a Christian flag, changed the name to anything but Christian, Camp Constitution flag, a secular, non-religious term, whatever, and will allow your flag to fly.
But you know, that victory didn't come easy, Matt. It's a great lesson for those to persevere will get victory, because we did lose four times at lower courts throughout the years to get to that point. And now that great victory is having a precedent and will have an influence, not just regarding flag policies, but religious viewpoints overall. I mean, those who want to, say, read a Christian book in a public library or have a Bible study, things like that. It's just strengthened the religious viewpoint in those issues.
Well, in fact, if you go back decades, when we founded Liberty Counsel in 1989, there was not the legal arguments back then that we have now with regards to viewpoint discrimination. There was content discrimination. Mm-hmm. Content is excluding an entire subject matter. So politics would be a content. That would be excluding that. And so there was a level of testing that you would have to observe from a constitutional standpoint as to whether a content-based restriction would be upheld. Viewpoint was not something that was a common idea back then. Mm-hmm. Liberty Counsel, I personally, along with actually Jay Sekulow, we were the two that actually separately pioneered the idea of viewpoint discrimination. Nobody else was using that. And the reason why we did that is because in 1990, the Free Exercise Clause took a major hit from the United States Supreme Court. Instead of strengthening the free exercise, it was significantly diluted. So the question is, how do you actually protect our free speech and free exercise of religion now that the Supreme Court hurt the free exercise clause? And the idea came with viewpoint discrimination. And viewpoint discrimination is basically this. Life or the life abortion would be, for example, a subject matter. Pro-abortion would be a viewpoint on abortion. Pro-life would be an opposite viewpoint on it. Politics would be a subject matter. Conservative versus liberal, Republicans versus Democrat would be viewpoints. And so what we looked at was trying to find subject matters that were permissible, but they were excluding religious viewpoints. And so, for example, in the school club cases, take, for example, the Boy Scouts and Good News Clubs. This was one of those examples that was successful, but this was built over a number of years. The schools allowed the Boy Scouts But they said, we won't allow the Good News Clubs because they are Christian. They actually teach the Bible. Mm-hmm. They have Bible stories. They have proselytizing, if you will, so that we don't want them to be on campus. So we looked at subject matters. Subject matter would be, well, what do the Boy Scouts teach that you allow? Well, they teach good character. They teach morals. Oh, morals. They teach other subject matters that the Good News Clubs teach. They teach good character. They teach morals. They teach respect. They teach patriotism. Sounds a lot like some of the same subject matters of the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts are teaching the subject matter. You allow the subject matter. They're able to teach it from a secular viewpoint, but now you say we can't teach the same subject matter from a religious viewpoint. That's how we ended up winning the Good News Club case at the U.S. Supreme Court and so many other cases. This case goes into that same category. The other thing that was a problem back in 1989 was a 1971 case called Lemon versus Kurtzman. And they came together, Lemon and the viewpoint or even content discrimination of religion. The government, whether it's a school or some other entity, they would censor, say, the Bible clubs, whether it's after school Christian organization or a Good News Club, they would censor those because they were teaching religion, particularly Christianity. They would censor those by arguing that the Lemon test from 1971 required them to do it.
Or what about other cases like Ten Commandment cases, nativity scenes, things like that?
Yeah.
That also fell in those into that category, right?
Yeah, and so what they did was under the Lemon test, it was a judge-made activist court test back in 1971. And so you would look at the display, look at the words, for example, look at the Good News Club after school, and you have an observer, what they would call a reasonable observer. And you'd ask the question to that reasonable observer, is this event endorsing Christianity? Well, you'd look at that. Yeah, it is. The nativity scene. You would focus only on the nativity scene. Well, that does that promote Christianity? Yes, it does. So then that would be down. The Ten Commandments, does that promote the religion? Yes, it promotes religion because it has the Ten Commandments there. What they would ignore is the surrounding context. And so in order to win under those cases, sometimes you had to show, well, yeah, if you look only at the nativity scene with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, it promotes Christianity. But if you broaden your viewpoint out, now you see Santa Claus standing there, and you see the reindeer, and you see a camel, you see Frosty the Snowman. Well, there's some other secular symbols there. So you had to water it down.
Even though Christmas is about Jesus, but...
I know. You had to water it down, even though the First Amendment provides this special protection,
right?
Because the First Amendment took a big hit in 1990 under the Supreme Court misinterpretation of it. So what happens over time is the Lemon test, with this anti-religious idea of censoring religious viewpoints and content messages from the public square, were used collectively to censor our viewpoints. So this was decades in the making, continually asking for the court to overturn the Lemon test, taking one little case at a time, building it one brick at a time to build up the viewpoint censorship idea, and that has now become the standard viewpoint now expressed in First Amendment jurisprudence. This culminated on May the 2nd, 2022, in our 9-0 win in Shurtleff, getting 9 justices to agree that, yes, they allow all these other viewpoints. The only reason why they censored the flag is because of the word Christian on the application. That's unconstitutional censorship. And the cherry on top of the cake is, with that case and the case involving Coach Kennedy, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can pray. You can kneel down and have a secular thought, that's okay, but if you kneel down and pray, it's not because of Lemon. That now jettisoned the Lemon test once and for all. The 51-year-old precedent is gone.
Yeah, that Kennedy case, they finally buried it, didn't they?
Finally buried it, and they cited our case in Shurtleff to do it. So Shurtleff was the shovel to bury Lemon, if you will. And so now, although that was decades in the making, over 30 years in the making, with some advances, some losses along the way, but never, ever, ever giving up. Now it culminates in 2022 with this incredible win for free speech and this also incredible victory to overturn the 51-year-old Lemon Test.
Praise God.
So now going forward, as we move toward the end of the year for nativity scenes or have Ten Commandments or in One Nation Under God, the Pledge of Allegiance, all these other things, religious symbols, words, speech, religious viewpoints, those are now freed up in a way that they've not been for decades. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/flag. That's lc.org/flag.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.